tonight, speaking of prayer, I love this prayer. We're on Psalm, what are we, Psalm 70? I hope that's what it said in the bulletin, because that's what I studied. So that's what you're going to get. Eddie, is this your water?
I don't know.
It has some taken out of it. Did you drink a lot? You want your water? This is yours. I didn't do it.
He's trying to poison me.
It's holy water.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep, that was yours. That was yours, yes. We're in Psalm 70 tonight, speaking of prayer. Many of these are prayers. And, of course, as many of the Psalms, it's a Psalm of David. And, boy, just the introduction tells us something. And before we even do that, let's pray. Lord, we come to you as, well, look at us as filthy flesh monsters. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy in our lives. We praise you for your love for us and your commitment to us, your patience with us, your continual work. Oh, God, we praise you for these things. We thank you for calling us here. We are the ones that you have called here to be here today, that we would lift up your holy name, that we would praise you and glorify you, that we would look into your word, that your word would look into our hearts. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to hold still while you do the surgery. Have your way here tonight, Lord. Help us to get to know you better always. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. There's something a little bit giggly and funny about to bring to remembrance, since Psalm 70 is merely a repeat of Psalm 40, verses 13 through 17. Because it is something that we can... No, I got... Thanks. Thank you. Some commentators suggest that this was accidentally repeated in the Bible. That's one of the most foolish things I ever heard. God knows what he's doing. When he put his word together, he knew exactly what he was doing. And the deal is this. We do need Psalms for our remembrance. We do need to remember this. And if you're reading through the Psalms, you've got through 40, and you come 30 chapters after that, and now you're looking at Psalm 70, by now we have forgotten. The Bible is repetitive. The Bible says a lot of the same stuff over and over and over again. And you know why. Because we're slow. We're slow to obey. We're slow to hear. We're slow to believe. And so God is faithful to repeat these things, like Paul in Philippians chapter 3. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. No, well, that's chapter 4. Chapter 3 is, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. You know how many times in Philippians Paul tells these people to rejoice? And you're reading, well, you've already said that. Yeah, but you're still cranky and bitter. Now rejoice in the Lord. Stop saying that. Like the little girls. My girls. Not your little girls. My little girls. They don't do this anymore because most of them have moved out. But clean your room. Stop saying that. Stop saying that. Clean your room. Or my wife tells me, take out the garbage. Stop saying that. If I were to take out the garbage, I wouldn't have to hear that anymore. Now, would I? And so there are things in God's word that God is just lovingly trying to get through our thick skulls. And so here's a moment, a time for remembrance, that maybe we can get this. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Now, the thing about remembrance here is this is, by the way, a prayer which is, it's just a desperate prayer. Why would I want to remember this, and what is this teaching me? My guess is that if David is bringing this about again as a psalm of remembrance, I think maybe David is trying to remember a time when God delivered him when he was in trouble, and now he's in trouble again. And he's thinking, I remember that song. I remember that song. I remember that time. I remember that. I'm telling you, Psalm 77, I'll remember the days of old, the years of ancient times. In everything that I'm going through right now, stop and remember God back when. Because God hasn't changed. God is still the same. He is the same God. And he hears you the same. And so as David repeats this song, I'm going to sing this song again. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Hurry up. David is tired of feeling this way. David is panicked because the enemy is surrounding him. David has had enough. I don't think there's anybody in this room who has never felt that way. I've had enough. Isn't this enough? But we know that in every trial, God is working on our insides. As we count it all joy, we fall into various trials. God is producing patience in us. God is producing his glory in us. And it can only come through pressure. It can only come through crushing. It can only come through being stuck in the oven for a while. And you and I have our opinions about how long it takes for us personally to bake. Lord, I've suffered enough. Did you forget about me? We're like cookies in the oven, afraid we're going to burn. But the baker is much smarter than the cookie. But I guarantee you, the difference between the baker and a cookie, well, that's a lot closer than the difference between God and people. I think a cookie is almost as smart as the baker. But we are not nearly as smart as God. God knows what he's doing. But we say, hurry, get me out of here, hurry. And this is not a bad prayer. It's not bad to ask God to be quick about this. I wouldn't want anybody to think, well, you know, we got to really go with God's timing. Yes, that's true. But the fact is this, whether or not you say hurry, God's going to come in his own time. He's not going to penalize you for saying hurry. He knows you're tired. He knows you're hurting. He knows everything about you. And then you pray a prayer like this, and then the next day everything is still horrible. John chapter 11. Lazarus, the one Jesus loved, he was sick. He was sick, and they sent for Jesus. They said, hey, Lazarus is really sick. And Jesus said, oh, okay. And it says, because he loved Lazarus, he waited a few more days. Because he loved him, he waited? And because God loves you, he's waiting. I tell you, the bigger the problem, the better the miracle, that's for sure. And we know that Lazarus would die. And then what happened? Both Martha and Mary, we always bag on Martha for this, but Mary said it too. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Rebuking the Lord for his tardiness. But God's timing is perfect, and we all know what happened. Jesus said, I waited for this purpose. I know he's dead, but I'm going to raise him. And he raised him. You don't know what God's up to in all of his waiting. Let me just say this, though. I think it's important that I've always got my little mints in my pocket, you know, the little Latin band going for it when I'm up here. Sometimes I get the feeling that in something going on in my life, as I'm waiting for him to come and rescue me, maybe he's waiting for me on something. Maybe there's something about the way I think that he has already told me about that needs to change. Maybe he's waiting for me as you know, they're the people digging their own holes. They've got the shovel in their hand and they're digging and they're in this deep dark hole, the shovel still in their hand, and they're saying, who's going to get me out of the hole? And they're praying, God, make haste to get me out of here. And God's saying back to you, why don't you make haste and drop the shovel? Why don't you stop the behavior that may have brought you to this point? But we know in David's case, this wasn't about his behavior. David was a man after God's own heart. And though he was a sinner, he was seeking after God and he was dealing with some real enemies. And so he cries out to God, hurry up, please. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. That's kind of a funny little thing. People who say, aha, why don't you mess them up, Lord? So we know the situation with David was there was a literal enemy all around him. And I just think of this business of aha, aha is like, you know, like I win, you lose, it's like a mocking. You know, in the Hebrew, you know what this word means in the Hebrew? It means, means aha. That's the Hebrew. And you know, and so it was. It's like wow, it's like the enemy coming in and saying, wow, what a loser you are. Look at you. I win, you lose. Aha. You've lost. And so anybody who would mock and scorn and scoff and all of those things, David's just saying, you know, let them be ashamed. And certainly they will be ashamed for those who would mock the Lord, those who would mock the Lord's people. One day, they'll remember every mock as they burn in hell. I think about, you know, that is if they do not repent and give their lives to Jesus. Yes, they can. And I praise God for that. I was a mocker. And many of us were mockers. And, you know, God so graciously saved us. But for those who mock all the way to their grave, they'll remember every mock for eternity. Adding to the shame. And so David is saying, you know, Lord, do something about these guys. He says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. As we seek the Lord, we will rejoice in him. As we seek other things, we're not going to rejoice in the Lord. I've got so many people that I've dealt with over my entire Christian life, actually. You know, people who are seeking after maybe the good life or seeking after, you know, just trying to get their life together. And they're kind of using God to help them in this. But their focus is not on the Lord. They're still seeking, you know, I'm seeking a good relationship, or I'm seeking a good job. I'm asking God to help me with this. You know, and on the surface, that's not a bad idea if you're going to, but the seeking part is the mistake. We should stop seeking after all these other things, even the good things that God gives us, is just seek the Lord and let Him give to us what He knows is good and right. And as we seek the Lord, we're going to rejoice because we're going to see Him. Because let those who love your salvation say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Magnified, that means made bigger. Because whatever you focus on is what is the what becomes the largest thing in your life. Wherever you set your gaze, wherever you set your desires, wherever you seek, that is what gets big. And that's why we have so many mopey Christians. We get so mopey. Why? Because things aren't going my way. What you looking at? Well, this problem. I don't have this. I wish I had that. Well, what are you seeking?
Well, I don't know.
Are you seeking the Lord?
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not seeking the Lord. You're seeking what you want, and you're using the Lord to get it. Oh, how much greater to seek the Lord, and then He gets bigger and bigger. The bigger He gets, the more joy in your heart. I have to learn this all the time. How are things getting big when you focus on them? Numbers chapter 13, when the children of Israel were ready to get into the promised land. Here we go. We're ready to go. It's been 2 years. We are now ready. We've built the tabernacle. We've done the thing. We've done the baby steps all the way up to the edge of the promised land. We're ready to go in. Stop sending 12 spies in there now. 12 spies come back. Which, by the way, it was ill-advised that they sent the spies, but that's another story altogether. Because God was giving them the land. All they needed to do was go and do it. But the 12 spies came back, and 10 of the spies said, "Nope, we cannot do it." And they spoke of the giants in the promised land, in Canaan. It says, "We can't do it." Why? There's giants there. And in Numbers chapter 33, verse 13... No, chapter 13, verse 33. I think there's all those threes in my head. Numbers 13, verse 33. These 10 guys are trying to convince everybody to be scared. And they're saying, "The giants, man, we are like grasshoppers in their sight." I want you to know the giants are probably 8 feet tall. 7 feet, 8 feet. You know, Jews, all right, they might be little people. 5.5 feet tall. Maybe they're as tall as I am. Maybe they're 6 feet tall. Giants were this much taller than them. That does not make them a grasshopper. It does not make you a grasshopper. If the giants were 100 times their size, they would be grasshoppers. But come on. Proportionally speaking, what the giants were bigger than us. That's all they were. Well, these guys are bigger than us. And their focus was on them. They focused until that's all they could see. They could keep thinking giants, giants, giants. I'm telling you, back to David and this, you know, make those people who say, aha, aha. There was a giant who said, aha, aha, to David when he was a little guy. Goliath, he was the big aha. And all David could see was the Lord. With David, the Lord was magnified. Yeah, the giant's bigger than me, but God's bigger than the giant. That is a concept that is so simple. That is Christianity 101. We learn that stuff the first month we're saved. That whatever it is that is coming against us, whatever, God is infinitely bigger than that, and God is on your side. But we like to just dwell on the problem, and it grows and it grows, and pretty soon I'm a grasshopper. Saying, yes, we got a problem here. I'm going to look to the Lord. The problem bigger than me, I'm going to look to the Lord. Let those who seek the Lord, let those who love God's salvation, let God be magnified. He cannot, will not be magnified if we're not seeking Him, if we're not looking to Him. But I am poor and needy. He's not feeling it, is he? Isn't that great? He's saying, look at the verse 4 is just so positive. Let those who seek you rejoice, just bubbling over with joy. God be magnified, but I'm poor and needy. He's not feeling it. And you know, and that's something that it's so hard, I think. I was going to say as a pastor. No, as a Christian, as somebody who wants to encourage hurting brothers and sisters. What do you do whenever somebody's hurting? You draw their attention to the Lord, right? I hope that's what you're doing. I hope you're not saying, ooh, really? That happened to my Aunt Tilly and she had to lose both her legs. You know, some people, just don't say anything, okay? But no, our encouragement is that we would show them that God is bigger than this. And though it be true, and though everything, you know, I just got done talking to somebody who is hurting more than I've ever hurt in my life. Somebody who's dealing with something that I don't ever want to deal with that. I don't know how I would handle it. And yet there I am standing there with this guy and God is calling me to encourage him and comfort him. And I speak the truth to him about God. Truth he already knows, but maybe I could help him adjust his focus. But as I do that, my great discouragement is that he's still rolling around in, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. I said, yeah, you are. You are poor and needy. We are all poor and needy. So stop it with the I am poor and needy and get back to the Lord. God sees you. God sees it. He sees it all. But even though, like I said, you know all these things, but you're going through the ringer right now. All you can think about is the ringer. But with this man, with David, I am poor and needy. He goes back to the beginning of the prayer. Make haste. Oh God, you are my help and my deliverer. Oh Lord, do not delay. Hurry, please. I'm hurting. I'm tired, but notice, you are my help and my deliverer. Too often, we want God to deliver to us the help of our choosing. Lord, help me. I need this. Help me, Lord. I need that. But David's got it right. You are my help. You are my deliverer, as Abraham learned from God in Genesis chapter 15. Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. You're looking for rewards? It is God Himself. You're looking for help? It is God Himself. I'll tell you something. You're ever in a situation to where you're really hurting and then somebody somebody just shows up. Somebody that you have such respect for. Somebody that you love. And just their presence makes you feel better. And that's happened to me. I've gone through things, you know, and then like, wow, look who just showed up. And this guy's standing there, and this is one of those guys. You have those in your life, those guys that whenever you're around them, it's like you know everything's going to be okay. Because that's happened to me on several occasions when so-and-so just showed up, and then I just went, blah, just cried. It all just came out. That is how God is our help. Understand, God has shown up and he stands among us even now. As you're there in your hospital bed, as you're there in your loneliness, as you're there in whatever torment happens to be dealing with you right now, enter the Lord. He is your help. He is your help. His very presence. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing to him. And in all the singing and the praise and worship, just also prayer. I know some of y'all, you're praying this prayer. Make haste. God, would you please hurry? I'm tired. God sees you. He knows you're tired. He is going to refresh you. He's going to strengthen you. He is. And I know you'd like him to refresh you and strengthen you now, and that's what we're going for. He might wait till tomorrow because he loves you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much. You know when every sparrow falls, I think we're of more value than many sparrows. Lord, there are people here tonight and people who are not here who are part of this fellowship who are suffering greatly. We ask your hand to be on them, that your presence would be their help, that they would seek you. Help them, Lord, to find where the gold is, and it is in you. Help them to seek you, just to be with you, to know you, to know that the greatest thing is just to be in your glorious presence. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for hearing us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.